That's not the Christian way. It shouldn't be. I know a lot of Christians want to do that. You know, just like they love to come down on certain sins, like homosexuality, right? But there's a bunch of adulterers, divorcees in their church, people who are divorced and getting divorced. And I'm not saying divorce is the unforgivable sin any more than homosexuality, fornication, or adultery are unforgivable. None of them are unforgivable. But do not try to say that any of it is right. None of it is right. You can't. And that's the thing, is people want to justify themselves in their wicked deeds. In their evil deeds, they want to justify themselves. Well, the only justifiable reason for divorce, he said, was if she wasn't a virgin and you expected her to be. Well, Paul, what about a woman who, or, you know, what about, we've both fornicated? Because this is the world we live in today. We were both fornicators and now we're married. Well, when you married her, if you knew that, you know, right? You knew each other enough to know that, yeah, you weren't her first. And yeah, she wasn't your first. And so you understood that. And in Christ, you repented from your fornication. And turned away from your sins. Then you are like virgins again in the sight of God. And so your marriage is binding. When you know, it's one thing if someone lies to you, you know, and says, oh, I'm a virgin. Wow, I've never been with a man. And then you marry her and you find out, well, she was lying. She wasn't anything of the kind. You know, I don't go around, you know, I don't demand everyone to be a certain way. I'll just tell you what's right in Christ. In Christ. You know, is that we should, if we've been fornicators, to stop our fornication. If we've been adulterers, to stop it. And then to turn from it and to walk in the newness of life. Walk in uprightness. Walk, you know, laying aside the former lust. All Jesus is saying is this is all sin. You have to understand. Well, what do I do if I've married someone who's divorced? Now I'm in adultery. What I would say is the most important, recognize the sin that had taken place and seek God. There has to be, we must acknowledge our sin. Now some people think, okay, well once, I repent once when I believe and that's it. I never need to repent again because God has forgiven all my sin. There is no sin that man commits that he does not need to turn from. And repentance is to have a change of mind about. The thing is, if I repent when I come to Christ, right? But there are things inside of me that I don't even understand are sins. And I keep doing them without acknowledging them and without changing my mind about them. I don't have to go to God and say, God, I repent. I just have to do the repentance. It's not a question of God wants us to come and say, Lord, I repent. That's meaningless. I can tell, Lord, I repent. Lord, I'll never do it again. Lord, I'll do this. I'll do that. I'm just, my mouth is moving, but I have no power to fulfill those things. But God grant me that I might be granted repentance. Be gracious to me that I might be turned from my sins. Those are the things I look to God. I ask for that constantly until I see every area of my life in perfection. Why would you cease asking God that he would help turn you from sin? Well, because it's all done. It's like, of course it's all done, but we do not yet see the work finished. The works Christ did on the... See, people get confused because they say, well, Christ finished everything on the cross. Yeah, and everything was finished before the foundation of the world, but we don't see it all completed yet. You know, all things are put under his feet, but we do not yet see all things put under his feet. All your sins are forgiven, but we don't yet see all your sins removed. You know, he took away our sin, but I don't see your sins removed yet, but I have faith they will be because I know you're a person of faith. Right? And that's what his faith does and teaches. And that is how the Christian way of looking at your sins. We are racing away from them, running from them, putting them behind us. Yes, there may be ones ahead of us, but I'm not looking at the things that are ahead of me on the right or to the left, but I'm looking straight ahead because in my lane, I see nothing but a clear shot to the finish line. There's no one in front of me. That's how I look at life. There's nothing in front of me. I'm running full blast. Forgetting the things, looking what's ahead. What I see ahead of me is the finish line. I don't see in the other line my competitors, if there be any left. And I'm speaking of sin. I hope you understand my analogy. So, when you have a situation, and you know, I know people are in all kinds of situations, I suppose, and I'm laying this out, and Acknowledge the sin of it. Ask God to turn you from the sin of it. You know, and I think in the acknowledging, there can be a cleansing. You can't go back to your old husband or anything. You know, don't think on those lines. Don't go back and don't. Once it's done, it's done. Adultery destroys marriages. I mean, if someone has an adulterous event and they can somehow heal their relationship with each other, I'm not saying that that's like you can't do that. I'm just saying that like once you divorce and you go marry someone else, don't go back. No, that's not good. Because now you're doing it double. Adultery, then adultery. You're just adding sin to sin. Now that you've sinned, stay with the person you're with. You know, stay with them. That's one of the most, you know, you can be forgiven and move on and be cleansed of your sins. Repent. That you know, in your heart, acknowledging the sin of it and seeking God that you repeat it not, that He would give you the strength to cling to your husband or wife if they're a believer and if they're pleased to dwell with you, you know. If someone's an unbeliever who doesn't want to live with you and doesn't want to be married to you, I don't think you have to like move heaven and hell to stay married to them. There's, you know, Paul talks about there's liberty in such cases. If they want to leave you, you're not going to be under bondage. You know, like if you're a believer and you were married to an unbeliever and then they leave you and divorce you, it's not like you can never be married again. But first, before you get married again, cleanse yourself of the sin of the past. Don't marry, and for one, don't marry another unbeliever. Don't make that mistake again. Now you're adding sin to sin. It is adultery. Because you're marrying the same kind of person again. Use wisdom. God is very forgiving. Don't think that because Christ is saying this is sin. What he's saying is, I'm not going to give you a license to divorce your wives. Stay married. You know, if someone leaves you, you can't force them to stay. Certainly not in this society, and I would never recommend it. Paul didn't recommend it. He said if the unbelieving want to depart, let him depart. You shouldn't be unequally yoked with unbelievers in the first place. So there's a lot more to this than you might, you know, by having a wooden interpretation that tries to look at this. Remember, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You've got to understand everything in the Spirit in which Jesus takes it. We've been going through this whole book of Matthew. We're up to chapter 19. And think about all the things Jesus has said.